The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Lisa Bernhard for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Kids on the Go. Kids on the Go is generously supported by the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Scout Life. Hey, we're going to start with some questions to the magazine. A merry hello for a month full of celebration. Write in and let me know how your family celebrates the season. My family sings a carol called O Tannenbaum. Perhaps you know it better as O Eagle's Tree. I beg the boss to let me record it for you, but he has absolutely forbidden it. So let's move forward with a carol-less letter answering sesh. I'm a Star Scout. I think the magazines are pretty helpful because they share the latest things in the world and in scouting. My favorite thing about scouting is the friends you make along the way. Signed, Bentley A. of Beatrice, Nebraska. Bentley, you're a star, literally. I totally agree. The best part of scouting is the friends you gather in your flock. It's also awesome that Scout Life helps you stay informed and inspired. We work hard to make every page an asset to your scouting journey. Keep it up. Next question. I'm writing for your help on how to do Pinewood Derby in Scouts BSA. It was my and many others' favorite part of Cub Scouts. From Connor U. in Oxford, Mississippi. Connor. After chirping with the Scouts BSA program director, I've got three ideas for you. Talk to your adult leaders about doing a mini Pinewood Derby in your troop just for fun. It's allowed. Suggest that your troop help run the Pinewood Derby for a local pack, under the guidance of the pack's adult leadership. In return, you can ask for a special race heat just for Scout BSA members at the end of the day. Look into the Soapbox Derby. Your adult leaders will need to ensure you're keeping up with all the safety elements, but it's a cool option for Scouts BSA members who want to take the Pinewood Derby to the next level of fun. Next article. Having an article on sewing would be helpful. Everyone needs to know how to sew on their patches and merit badges. Also, scouts can use sewing knowledge to repair holes in clothing that might tear on the outings. I've been sewing for a couple of years, and I've taught others how to sew on patches. From Gwynna G. in San Diego, California. Gwynna, you're on top of things. A little birdie told me scouting is now offering more formal guidance on how to sew. In fact, check out go.scoutlife.org/sewing and explore the sewing and needlework concept, one of the latest additions to the Scouts BSA test lab. Since you're an experienced seamstress, let us know what you think of the resource there. Now I'd like to end today in a different way. This next letter wasn't addressed to me, and I honestly can't relate because I'm covered in feathers. But the boss said all of you scouts would definitely get it and would make you grateful for the colder weather this time of year. Alex, the floor is yours. Dear mosquitoes, you serve a massive role in the lives of all scouts, a burden. When camping, we must take special precautions, which still end up ineffective most of the time. I get that you need our nutrient-dense blood for survival, but there are so many alternatives for you instead of humans. It feels targeted, personal even, towards the human race. We demand you find more considerate alternatives for feeding yourselves and your offspring. Sincerely, a human being. From Alex C. in Lake Mary, Florida. Good luck with this one, Alex. And mosquitoes, please don't turn your sight towards eagles if you do happen to be reading this. See you in the new year, everyone. Now on to a reader's page. The trip that changed my life forever. I never thought signing up for a backpacking trip would be the act that changed my life forever. My adventure at Philmont Scout Ranch in Cimarron, New Mexico, changed my views on life and made me realize what means the most to me. There is nothing I love more than being in the outdoors, being one with the outdoors. Philmont gave me the experience of a lifetime. 12 days of hanging bear bags and using the bathroom where you can see nature and nature can see you may not seem entirely appealing to most people, but those things changed my life for the better. I made new friends and had experiences I never thought I could have. Those 12 days made my heart race for reasons both good and bad. I was crying because I could finally see the stars. There was always a fellow scout to lean on, whether I'd known them for years or had just met them that week or even that day. This is one adventure I will never forget. From Avery F. in Sparta, New Jersey. Now, here are some questions for Jenny and Steve. When I cook on campouts, it always tastes bad. What are simple ways to spice up a dish when cooking outdoors? From Steve, this is an expert-worthy question because cooking supplies are limited at campouts. Food often tastes bland, so pack versatile seasonings, advises Chris Lilly, world champion pitmaster and executive chef. Instead of salt, combine a mixture of salt, brown sugar, paprika, garlic powder, black pepper, and cayenne pepper. This combination or seasoning salt will spice everything from fish to fritters. A barbecue sauce such as KC Masterpiece can be a sauce or glaze, but also a tasty ingredient in beans and chili. When grilling, let the wood burn down to hot coals first for even perfectly smoked flavor. Jenny says, okay, now my mouth is watering. I'm partial to veggies. I know, I'm a geek. So skewer some in advance of the trip. Peppers, onions, and zucchini all work. And put them in a baggie with a bit of olive oil and the spice mix Chris Lilly recommends. When ready, pop them on the fire until soft and starting to char. And of course, make sure you save room for dessert, because there's nothing better than a good old s'more. Hold a skewered marshmallow over the fire until it turns mushy and starts to brown. Then put it between two graham crackers with a square of Hershey's chocolate. Heaven. No one will even remember dinner. My little brother gets upset every time he loses a game, whether it's sports or just Twister. How can I help him? Steve says, oh man, I can relate. When I was younger, I flipped out every time my older sister beat me at Parcheesi. Three tips. Never, quote unquote, let him win. Whenever I sense this with my sis, I just get madder. Two, try games that better suit his skills. Logical kid, think checkers. Word whiz, catchphrase. Three, try to cut him some slack. Like me, he might just have sore loser DNA. Jenny adds, for the record, I've beaten Steve at cards before and can confirm he's a sore loser. You should also be straight up with your little bro and tell him that you don't really want to play with him if he's going to flip out every time he loses. This will make him more conscious of his actions because he knows you'll stop playing if he keeps it up. And if he has no one to play with, he can't win. Kid of the Year. Eagle Scout recognized nationally. Tejasi Manjo. Age 17, out of Plano, Texas. Scout rank Eagle Scout Troop 261 Plano. Made headlines for being named Time Magazine's 2025 Kid of the Year. The Scoop, after being featured as an SL headliner in September, Tejasvi received this award, which recognizes a student who's made an outstanding contribution to the world. Tejasvi developed Shield Seniors, a website designed to help senior citizens protect themselves from online scams. Math Champ, Star Scout NABS honors Kevin Zhao, 16, from Hockessin, Delaware. Life Scout, Troop 2, Newark, Delaware. Made headlines for competing in the 2025 United States of America Junior Mathematical Olympiad and receiving an honorable mention award. The Scoop, hosted by the Mathematical Association of America, the USA, JMO, is a highly selective math competition consisting of about 250 of the top 9th and 10th grade students in the nation, which is narrowed down from a pool of approximately 50,000 contenders. Kevin was the only student from Delaware this year. The two-day, 9-hour exam involves 6 challenging proof-based math problems. Alyssa Ross, 21, from Powell, Tennessee. Eagle Scout Summit Award, Crew 701, Knoxville, Tennessee. Made headlines for receiving a 2025 National Venturing Leadership Award. Alyssa previously served as the National Venturing Vice President of Program. She completed a pin map project to eventually be included on the Venturing website that will provide members with a way to connect with other crews throughout the country. Aiden Wells, 20, Newport News, Virginia. National Venturing President, Crew 111, Newport News. Made headlines for receiving a 2025 National Venturing Leadership Award. Aiden currently serves as the National Venturing President. He also represented Scouting America at the 10th Inter-American Leadership Training in the Dominican Republic this year. Nikhil Srivanis, age 17, Prosper, Texas, Eagle Scout, Troop 365, Prosper. Made headlines by earning the Congressional Award Gold Medal, the U.S. Congress's highest youth honor. Nikhil also earned the Distinguished Conservation Service Award, Scouting America's highest conservation recognition. His projects include restoring endangered prairie grassland in the Blackland Prairie Raptor Center in Lucas, Texas, and creating a certified monarch way station to support butterfly migration. Go with the snow. Find frozen fun on a winter expedition. When you're camping in the bitter cold with temperatures that refuse to rise into the double digits, it's great to warm up with a delicious cup of hot chocolate. For campers participating in the Winter Trek program at Mount Norris Scout Reservation in Vermont, there was as much of a rich, tasty treat as they wanted before heading back into the snow. There was a constant supply of hot chocolate, which is nice, says Killian Allen, 14, a Star Scout with Troop 611 of South Burlington, Vermont. For 4 weekends each January and February, the Green Mountain Council Camp hosts scouts from all over New England on winter adventures, where troops can build quinsies, snow shelters, fish on a frozen lake, and try snowshoeing or cross-country skiing. They can also participate in range and target activities, including hatchet throwing, rifle shooting, and more. If you're prepared, winter camping and cold weather activities can be a lot of fun. I think every scout should try it at least once, Killian says. Bundle up. You must pack properly for winter camping. That means lots of warm clothing. You don't know what the weather could be, says Star Scout Caden Higgins, 14, with Troop 611. So bring two jackets if you need to. I took my jacket off and put on five layers of long-sleeved shirts. Wear clothing made of materials that keep you warm even when damp. Cotton doesn't do that. Instead, pack wool and synthetics, which wick away moisture, dry quickly, and continue to insulate. Bring extra sets of clothes, gloves, and socks in case your stuff gets wet. You also want to have a dry set of clothes to sleep in, and hand warmers can provide heat where you need it. Check our how-to project on making your own hand warmers at go.scoutlife.org/handwarmers. I put hand warmers in my boots because my feet were so cold, says Alice Bates, 14, a Star Scout with Troop 6110 of South Burlington. Drop a line. Because fish are cold-blooded, they can survive under frozen lakes. They aren't as active in cold water, but they still have to eat. For ice fishing, scouts drilled holes in the ice and dropped their baited lines in the holes. Fishing requires strategy. Bobbing bait up and down mimics an injured animal, easy prey for a hungry fish. Fishing also calls for patience, although sometimes you might not need to wait long for a bite. I dropped in my line, and 5 seconds later, I caught something, says Micah Hunt, 17, a second-class scout with Troop 6110. Even if they all didn't pull up a perch, the scouts enjoyed ice fishing and seeing their friends succeed. It was so fun hearing them catch fish, said Star Scout Juliet Wagner, 14, of Troop 6110. Fun in the snow. With 2 feet of snow on the ground, there was plenty to work with when the troops built their quinsies. They made the shelters by first shoveling a big mound of snow together. Then the scouts dug a tunnel into the mound and hollowed it out. They poked air holes and shaped the interior, creating a dome. Some troops chose to stay on top of the snow and strapped on snowshoes. This way, they could hike through the powder more easily and with only boots. Trekking poles with snow baskets on the end help everybody keep their balance as they hiked. I think the snow is really fun to play around in, Alice says. Take aim. Many troops at the council camp opted for shooting slingshots, throwing tomahawks, or firing rifles. The only other time we get to do this is summer camp, said Eagle Scout Zach Bushy, 16, with Troop 611. The cold weather presents an extra challenge. When throwing tomahawks, for example, scouts had to put a little more muscle into their tosses to get the axes to stick to the targets. Trying new activities or doing a favorite activity in the colder climate keeps troops coming back to winter trek at Mount Norris every winter. Winter treks are always fun, Micah says. I really enjoy winter camping. A scout is clean. Moisture inside your tent or backpack can cause big problems if you neglect your gear. Cleaning and drying your camping equipment helps extend its life. You do not want mold in your tent, Killian says. Take care of your gear. Inspect it before you leave. If your stuff is wet from melted snow, rain, or dew, make sure to dry it out before packing it away. You can use carabiners to hang gear in your garage or on your porch at home. Stay safe. Even if the air temperature says above freezing, stay alert for hypothermia. This is a dangerous condition in which your body temperature drops to an unsafe level. Most deaths from hypothermia happen when the air temperature is between 30 and 50 degrees Fahrenheit. Wearing inadequate clothing and getting wet can be factors in developing hypothermia. Warning signs include shivering, fatigue, slurred speech, and a lack of coordination. In more severe cases, the person might stop shivering, their skin could turn blue, or they may lose consciousness. To treat it, get the person out of the cold, Put them in warm, dry clothes or blankets, and have them drink warm beverages if they are able to swallow. It is important to use the buddy system to check on your fellow scouts throughout the campout. Let's talk with the nature crew. Bats and birds are their specialties, but wildlife biologists Selena Birgit Kaiser and Mark Kaiser love all species of critters. Both have worked for the state of Florida and previously worked for Bat Conservation International on such programs as the Great Florida Birding and Wildlife Trail and the North American Bat House Research Project. Woodpeckers, nature's drummers. How would you like to have a tongue so long it wraps around your skull? Or be able to headbang without worries of a concussion? Maybe you'd like to become an awesome drummer. If you said yes, please, then you might like to be a woodpecker. If you don't mind eating bugs, of course. Woodpeckers are fascinating birds with species on all continents except Antarctica and Australia. About 240 species exist worldwide, and 23 are native to the U.S., found in every state except Hawaii. They're a diverse family of birds that live in a wide range of habitats, from forests and deserts to cities and suburbs. And with this, they put that the pileated woodpeckers are the largest woodpeckers in the U.S. They love to eat wild grapes. And they show a beautiful bird. It's got a red crown, and the face has a black band around the eyes and is white, and its body is both black and white. The Spanish word for woodpecker is pájaro carpintero, which means carpenter bird. One species called Lewis's woodpecker catches most of the insects it eats in the air. Amazing anatomy. Woodpeckers are very good at what they do. Hopping up a tree trunk is easy. They have zygotical feet, meaning two toes point forward and two point backwards. This helps them grip bark and climb. Woodpeckers also have strong tail feathers that act as a third foot to help them better ratchet up tree trunks or act as a tripod when they hammer into a tree. Their strong, chisel-like beaks let them break off bits of wood without a hole. Whole lot of effort. They hammer wood up to 20 times per second to dig out their nest cavities or find insects under bark or in rotting wood. Woodpeckers' brains are structured to handle the force of hammering that would knock out humans and give us a concussion. Their most amazing tool is a super long tongue, which can be up to a third of the length of their body. How does it all fit when not in use? The tongue wraps under, behind, and up the back of the skull, then over the top before it attaches to the base of the beak in front of their eyes. What's for dinner? Depending on what they eat, different types of woodpeckers have different types of tongues. For example, flickers have smooth, sticky tongues to grab ants, and they hunt in the ground. Sapsuckers' tongues have a brush-like tip to lick up as much sap as possible, along with the occasional insect stuck in the syrupy resin. Insect-eating woodpeckers can have barbs on their tongues to help grasp their prey. Most woodpeckers eat insect and their larvae. At close range, woodpeckers can hear them moving around underneath tree bark or inside a fallen log. Some woodpeckers also eat spiders, fruit, nuts, and seeds. Others occasionally eat lizards, small rodents, or the eggs and nestlings of other birds. Making a racket. Woodpeckers communicate by drumming. They hammer away with their stout bills on a structure, like hollow trees, metal gutters, or siding, that amplifies the sound. The louder, the better. Drumming tells other nearby woodpeckers that this territory is already taken, warning them to keep out. It also is a way to attract mates. Many species stay with their mates for several years. Some, such as the pileated woodpecker, mate for life. Helping the woodpeckers. Most woodpecker populations are doing well, but one threatened species in the U.S. is the red-cockaded woodpecker. This little southeastern bird uses mature longleaf pines for nests, which it makes in living trees. All other U.S. woodpeckers choose dead trees to nest cavities. Their numbers fell dramatically when their habitats were over-harvested in the late 1800s and early 1900s, but they improved from endangered to threatened in 2024 thanks to 50 years of conservation efforts like placing cavity boxes in large pine trees. You can help woodpeckers by providing food, water, or shelter. Many species come to feeders, and a favorite food is peanuts, unsalted. Our local red-bellied woodpeckers also eat raw sunflower seeds and millet we scatter on the ground for sparrows and doves. Nest boxes are also a great way to provide homes for some woodpeckers. Many, including the red-headed, hairy, and downy woodpeckers, will use artificial nest boxes with specific dimensions. Northern flickers and red-headed woodpeckers are more likely to use nest boxes stuffed with untreated wood shavings. Try installing a box this spring or putting out some food for your neighborhood woodpeckers. They would appreciate it. Fast facts. The last confirmed sighting of the ivory-billed woodpecker in the wild was in Louisiana in 1944, leading many ornithologists, bird scientists, to believe they had gone extinct. But unconfirmed sightings in the early 2000s in Arkansas and Florida and in 2022 in Louisiana might mean a few still survive. Let's end with a couple of jokes. What do you call a penguin in the Sahara Desert? Lost. That's from Leaf M in Colorado Springs, Colorado. What is the best gift? A broken drum. You just can't beat it. That's from Nathan N. in Glendale, Arizona. Knock, knock. Who's there? Alaska. Alaska who? Alaska again. What do you want for Christmas? That's from Rakesh V. in Fremont, California. We have run out of time for today's episode of Kids on the Go. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. Kids on the Go is generously supported by the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. I'm Lisa Bernhard, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Kids on the Go is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.